Harry looked down glumly at the bit of the profit he had torn off. Most of the page was devoted to an advertisement for Madame Malkin's robes for all occasions, which was apparently having a sale.
"Hey,"
he said, flattening it down so Hermione and Ron could both see it.
"Look at this."
"I've got all the robes I want," said Ron.
"No,"
said Harry.
"Look, this little piece here."
Ron and Hermione bent closer to read it. The item was barely an inch long and placed right at the bottom of a column. It was headlined, "Trespass at Ministry." Sturgis Podmore, 38, of No. 2 Laburnum Gardens, Clapham, has appeared in front of the Wizengamot charged with trespass and attempted robbery at the Ministry of Magic on 31st August. Podmore was arrested by Ministry of Magic watch wizard Eric Munch, who found him attempting to force his way through a top security door at 1 o'clock in the morning. Podmore, who refused to speak in his own defense, was convicted on both charges and sentenced to 6 months in Azkaban.
"Sturgis Podmore?" said Ron slowly. "But he's that bloke who looks like his head's been thatched, isn't he? He's one of the old..."
"Ron, shh," said Hermione, casting a terrified look around them.
6 months in Azkaban?" whispered Harry, shocked. "Just for trying to get through a door?" "Don't be silly. It wasn't just for trying to get through a door. What on earth was he doing at the Ministry of Magic at 1 o'clock in the morning?"
breathed Hermione.
"Do you reckon he was doing something for the Order?"
Ron muttered.
"Wait a moment," said Harry slowly. "Sturgis was supposed to come and see us off, remember?"
The other two looked at him.
"Yeah, he was supposed to be part of our guard going to King's Cross, remember? And Moody was all annoyed because he didn't turn up. So that doesn't seem like he was supposed to be on a job for them, does it?" "Well, maybe they didn't expect him to get caught," said Hermione. "It could be a frame-up,"
Ron exclaimed excitedly.
"No, listen,"
he went on, dropping his voice dramatically at the threatening look on Hermione's face.
"The Ministry suspects he's one of Dumbledore's lot, so... I don't know. They lured him to the Ministry, and he wasn't trying to get through a door at all. Maybe they've just made something up to get him."
There was a pause while Harry and Hermione considered this. Harry thought it seemed far-fetched. Hermione, on the other hand, looked rather impressed and said,
"Do you know, I wouldn't be at all surprised if that were true."
She folded up her half of the newspaper thoughtfully. When Harry laid down his knife and fork, she seemed to come out of a reverie.
"Right, well, I think we should tackle that essay for Sprout on self-fertilizing shrubs first, and if we're lucky, we'll be able to start McGonagall's Inanimatus Conjurus before lunch."
Harry felt a small twinge of guilt at the thought of the pile of homework awaiting him upstairs, but the sky was a clear, exhilarating blue, and he had not been on his firebolt for a week.
"I mean, we can do it tonight,"
said Ron, as he and Harry walked down the sloping lawns toward the Quidditch pitch, their broomsticks over their shoulders. Hermione's dire warnings that they would fail all their OWLs still ringing in their ears.
"And we've got tomorrow. She gets too worked up about work, that's her trouble."
There was a pause, and he added, in a slightly more anxious tone,
"Do you think she meant it when she said we weren't copying from her?"
"Yeah, I do," said Harry. "Still, this is important too. We've got to practice if we want to stay on the Quidditch team."
"Yeah, that's right,"
said Ron in a heartened tone.
"And we have got plenty of time to do it all."
Harry glanced over to his right as they approached the Quidditch pitch, to where the trees of the Forbidden Forest were swaying darkly. Nothing flew out of them. The sky was empty but for a few distant owls fluttering around the Owlry Tower. He had enough to worry about. The flying horse wasn't doing him any harm. He pushed it out of his mind.